5 years ago, our very own Keith Walsh experienced an intense body transformation as part of Reality Bites' The Gun Show, a little documentary he did. He went from being an ordinary fit and healthy guy to a six-packed, fake-tanned, perfect specimen. But what did it take to get him there? And with more and more men under pressure to achieve perfection, air quotes, what impact has it had 5 years on? Hello, Keith.
Oh, I was perfect. I achieved perfection. I don't think the Buddhists would agree that I achieved perfection.
Well, I have in my, you can't hear quotes, but I have it in quotes. When I wrote it, I put it in quotes perfect is just such, I mean, it's not real. Like, there's really no such thing when you're talking about human beings, I don't think.
Doesn't exist.
No.
Doesn't exist. But we always strive for it, don't we?
That's it. Mm. Exactly. And so just remind people, if they aren't familiar with what you did with your body for that program.
So it was it's called The Gun Show, and it was on RT2. It was a documentary, and the idea was to see if I could go from, you know, you hear people going from couch to 5K. It was basically couch to six pack in 6 months. And at the time I was working here, The Breakfast Show, I think, was about 6 months old, maybe not even. Mm. And I had what you would describe as a dad bod. So I kind of, when people work out, they end up with a sort of a triangle that's, you know, where the flat part of the triangle is the shoulders, and then it goes down and it's, you're thin at the waist. My triangle was upside down. So when the trainer came to me, he describes, well, we're going to turn your triangle upside down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're going to have all the muscle up here and then get rid of the belly. So you have a smaller waist and bigger shoulders and chest and all that kind of stuff. So
and what kind of time frame were you working on?
We went for 6 months.
Okay.
So it was quite intense.
Yeah.
And that was the whole thing. So we looked into body dysmorphia. We looked into sort of young people's views of the perfect body and how people were working, you know, towards attaining this image that they see on Instagram and they see on social media, and why they're doing it and the science behind it and also the supplements behind it. And I started, so one of the first days of the shoot, I was brought into the shop, and I basically, this guy brought me around and he just kept handing me these supplements. He goes, here's your pre-workout and here's your post-workout, here's your a box of protein bars, here's your blah, 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 here's like these supplements, these things,
like
these,
tablets.
It wasn't tablets, it was like scoops. So
right.
You know, if you're making
the protein powder,
shake,
yeah,
a protein powder, but this stuff was like stuff that you'd have pre-workout, so it was like just packed with, it was basically just caffeine and sugar,
right?
From what I could tell, but I didn't really know anything about it. I was like, oh, that's cool.
I'll do what I'm told.
Yeah, I wasn't into the gym at the time. I wasn't into, you know, any of this. I didn't really know about this culture of gyms and working out and supplements and all this kind of stuff. So I was like, yeah, cool, whatever. We'll work in the 6 months. I'll go for it. So I ended up with all this, these drinks, and the pre-workout drink to me seems to be like trying to get as much caffeine into a glass and get it into your body, you know, as quickly as possible. I used to go to a workout. I had a personal trainer as well. I used to turn up in front of him in the gym, and I would be fizzing.
Right.
I would feel my skin fizzing.
Ooh.
I was like, what the hell is going on here? But it was just the weirdest feeling. But it was obviously so much, I don't know what was in it, sugar, electrolytes, caffeine. I was just actually physically buzzing. And the idea is that you so much sort of energy, false energy, that you really go for it
in your,
for
workout.
Your workout. You can push heavier things, you can lift heavier things, you can run a little bit faster, and then you maximize your workout. But it's a crazy thing to do.
How many workouts were you doing?
Well, I mean, I was working out as much as I could because I had only 6 months. I was kind of going, well, I went to a gym with a PT and I saw him three times a week. But also I tried to go at least two other times to the gym myself. I was playing hurling at the time as well. So I was training with the hurling team and we were playing a match at the weekend. So I was definitely doing something 7 days a week.
Right.
In the gym, five times a week at least, and I was sometimes doubling up. So I was going to the gym in the morning and then training with the hurling team, and maybe going to the gym and then playing a match that evening. So there might have been 2 days
and
or
then
3 days where I was doubling up.
What about food?
Food then was literally no carbs, very very few carbs. Not like there wasn't really much fruit. Any carbs I would have gotten might have been from the small amount you'd get in a protein bar, and it was very sort of like carefully measured out exactly how much protein you needed. Exactly, you'd have one protein bar, you'd have it after your workout, and that would be your sort of a bit of carb and a bit of protein and a bit of sugar or whatever for the day. And then it was chicken. Yeah. It was literally lots of chicken. Chicken.
Did
breasts.
I see you with like a Tupperware of chicken in here one time?
Probably. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I was doing a lot of. I stopped caring about the taste of food. So I'd have like just chicken and spinach, and that would be my lunch. And then I'd have that for breakfast as well. And I might have three portions of chicken and spinach in the day. I was trying to eat six meals a day.
Right.
Because you needed just lots of food and constantly grazing, yeah, and lots of sort of nuts and things like that that would give you the fat.
And what did that do to you in terms of your mood and like your relationships? Because that's not a normal way to live.
No. And you see, I was doing the breakfast show as well, so I had to get up very early in the morning. And so I couldn't really. I mean, I felt like I was absolutely shattered all the time, you know, mm, and then I was trying to get as much sleep as I could. And then I was waking up. And I think my wife would say she was like a gym divorced. I left her for the gym.
Gym widow. Yeah.
A gym widow.
Yeah.
So like she, yeah. And
for she didn't get a look in.
Not really. And like I'd be like, there'd be points where I'd be in the bedroom going, yeah, what do you think of this? You know, and she'd be just reading her book, looking up at me going,
you're trying to show her the improvements of your,
yeah,
physique.
She's like, I literally don't care. What you're doing. I'd rather you just hung around more,
yeah,
often.
Yeah, or
than
like
whatever,
talk to me. Yeah.
Whatever you're doing in the gym, I really don't care what you look like. I'm, yeah, just actually just sick of you at this point. So.
But how did you feel about the physical changes?
I suppose it was, I was fascinated by it, and I felt like I looked good, and I was definitely looking better, and I was losing weight, and my clothes were fitting better.
And were people commenting on it?
Hugely, yeah. No, I don't think so. Probably because I didn't have a load of weight to lose, so they're probably under the clothes. Like I tend to wear bigger t-shirts, and I'm not really like a tight clothes kind of guy anyway. Mm. So people mightn't have noticed that much. Yeah. I wasn't actually parading around with my top off, which I would have loved,
Keith,
to have
you
done.
Do that all the time. Stop lying.
Yeah, well,
I never see you with your top on in the office.
I only do that in here in the office. So people really didn't notice. Was I getting anything from it? I don't really remember feeling like, oh man, this is amazing. This, yeah, is great. I was enjoying, I really love a challenge. So I was really enjoying this. I was really into it. Like, yeah, I was totally hook, line and sinker. And I was fascinated by, the science behind it, you know, the mental stuff behind it. I was talking to this psychotherapist about it all, and he said, he was explaining to me how the whole thing started with this kind of look that we're used to now, this look of, you know, Mr. Muscle, sort of an Instagram body. And he was explaining to me that in the 80s in America, LA, New York, when people started getting sick with the AIDS virus, that the gay community, men in the gay community, would go to the gym and buff up so that they could show, because one of the symptoms of, or how you might know that somebody has AIDS, is just that they can lose a lot of their muscle. And so this was sort of gay men in that community trying to show other gay men that they're fit and
their
healthy
health, yeah,
and they're not sick. And that's where it came from, and that's, yeah, where the body came from. And then it started showing up in sort of advertising, and then they started being used in, you know, fashion magazines and on the catwalks, and this body just appeared. It was just from gay culture, and then it crossed over into mainstream, and that's why we have that body we have. And that was sort of the 1980s,
yeah,
and that's where it's come from there. It wasn't a thing before that, you know.
It's absolutely fascinating, and I want to talk to you about what it felt like when you got to that air quotes perfect physique, and then how it's been kind of trying to be normal since then. But we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Keith after this. 2FM. I'm with Keith Walsh, and we are talking about bodies. God knows we talk about body image in women all the time, so I thought it would be good to have a conversation about men. And you have had obviously a very unique experience in that you trained extensively and intensely for 6 months to give yourself the air quotes perfect body as part of a documentary that you made 5 years ago. And we were talking about all the work that you did up to that point to get to the kind of end game physique. So when you got to the end of the training period, mm, and you had that, the body that you were working to have, what did that feel like?
Terrible.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, I felt terrible. I felt like I should have been somewhere. I should have achieved. I felt like, I looked great. I almost had a six pack in that. Like, I probably don't have the body for that ideal six pack, but I got as close as I could to it.
Yeah.
And I had pecs, and I could wear a tight shirt if I wanted. My clothes fitted lovely, and everything about all that, the aesthetics were great.
Yeah.
But I felt like shit.
Yeah.
I felt terrible. And I started having I started having panic attacks. I started feeling anxiety like I never had before. I felt I couldn't sleep properly. At one point during the breakfast show, I had a panic attack live on air. I had to pretend to Bernard and Jen that I felt sick and I thought I was going to vomit. I left the studio mid-link.
Wow.
Because it was so bad. I didn't tell anybody what was going on. But there was, I don't know what was going on, but this cameraman came in to film something. I was on air. There was Bernard and Jen were here. There's producers, just all. And suddenly everything just started closing in on me. I was so aware of where I was, that I was on air, that I was like, and I just started, I thought I was going to pass out.
Yeah.
And I had to leave the studio mid-link. And all the, I've never had anxiety before. I'd never had panic attacks before. I'd never had any of this before. And I was just like, I was going, what the hell is happening? And I just kind of, I suppose it was a bit of naivety on my part, a bit of stupidity maybe, but I didn't really realise what I was putting into my body. I didn't realise the amount of caffeine I was taking. I didn't really realise, like, I didn't know the chemicals that I was putting into my body. And there wasn't anything illegal or anything.
No.
But I just, it wasn't good for me.
It wasn't healthy.
It wasn't healthy, no. Yeah. So I looked great. I felt terrible. Yeah. And it was just so weird. And it was a head-melting kind of time because I should have been, everything should have been great. You know, because you do, you think, there are times in life, and everybody feels it when you think, oh, if only I could look like this, or if only I could do this, or if only I could get to this point, if only I could, like, if I had the perfect body, everything would be perfect, you know. And it's just,
it wasn't
the case. I was like, what the hell is going on? It was only at that point I started thinking about it and going, okay, what is in this stuff? I stopped taking I was still kind of going to the gym. I was still doing all that stuff, still taking the pre-workout, post-workout drinks, all that kind of stuff. And I just stopped everything.
Mm.
So I said, well, I need to figure out, this is all a new thing that I've started to do, you know, eat all this protein, do all this stuff. This is new. I need to stop doing what I've been doing for the last 6 months, go back to, you know,
being normal,
basics, and see if that's the problem. And at that point, I went completely the opposite end. I gave up everything. I gave up caffeine. Not even caffeine in my tea. I stopped eating meat. I went completely vegan.
Yeah.
And I just completely just cleaned my body out completely.
But that in itself is very extreme as well.
Yes, I'm a very extreme kind of person.
Yeah.
But I like it. Like, it's, I'm sort of like, I get a little bit obsessed.
Yeah.
So then I was obsessed with getting better. I'd been told that what I was eating going to the gym was clean.
But what does that, it's, I mean, I just think that's, I think that phrase has lost all meaning. It means nothing.
It seems, like, to have been because I wasn't eating carbs or burgers, or I wasn't eating chips, or I wasn't eating junk food. That meant I was eating clean.
It's like, how can you on one hand be telling someone, don't eat carbs, don't eat blah, 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 because this is clean eating. And then on the other hand, be giving them chemicals and supplements to put in their body, which will rot them from the inside. It just goes to show, in my view, it's the difference between health and aesthetic.
Mm.
And I think that it's one of the big problems that we have as a society is that we think we can look at someone and know how healthy they are based on what their body looks like. And, you know, you can be a large person who's very healthy, very active, eats very healthily. You know, you could go to the doctor and get all the tests and come back, you're perfectly healthy. And you can be someone who looks like they have the air quotes perfect body, should be the picture of health, but actually their insides are rotting because they're taking, you know, whatever, X, Y, or Z, or they're just eating really badly, or they just never move because they don't, you know, because they don't feel like they've weight to lose or whatever. And there's a total disconnect from the fact that health and aesthetic don't necessarily go together.
No, they don't. And like, what I try and do now is I try and listen to my body. I know this, that sounds a bit, you know, whatever, I can't use that word on air, but I try and listen to my body. I try and do the things that I feel like I want to do or I can do. Like, last month I didn't really go to the gym at all.
Mm.
You know, I had decided last month I was going to try and run 100 kilometers in the month. So I was going to do, you know, 5K every day. I know, it's this is my obsessions I have. And then, but it got kind of into a couple of weeks or a week into February. And I was like, I'm not feeling it. And I kind of just took February off.
Yeah, good.
And at the end of February, now I'm kind of back in the gym. I needed a rest, you know.
Yeah.
So you need to listen to your body. Sometimes you need a little bit of fat. Sometimes you're happy enough to lose fat. Sometimes you need to eat a bit more. Sometimes you're happy not to eat as much. You should listen to yourself.
Yeah, it's there's this whole movement called intuitive eating, which is kind of that.
Okay.
There are specific kind of techniques to do it, but it is about listening to what your body is asking for and trying to eat healthily that way.
Yeah.
Instead of kind of blocking things out. So you were looking in the mirror and you were seeing, you know, perfection, air quotes.
Yeah.
And then you know, you couldn't obviously sustain that lifestyle. I mean, that wasn't, it was bad for you, obviously, but it wasn't sustainable either. So when you started to look more like your previous self, and you were still, by the way, a svelte and perfect specimen in my eyes, but did you struggle with that?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I still do because maybe you can tell, but I'm quite into myself. Like, I don't know if it's just me, but yeah, I mean, if there was any little bit of a belly forming, that would kind of freak me out. You know, I'd be looking at myself in the mirror or I'd be putting a bit of clothing on. And I'd be like, oh my God, this is not, you know, because I had been like my body fat was down to like 11% at one point. You know, I was perfect, you know.
Yeah.
And so now any little bit of, you know, a little bit of a man boob or a little bit of a belly, or you see a little bit of back fat or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, why am I even noticing these things? But I am. And that kind of freaks me out a little bit. So I think I'm left with the residue of, it's almost like, you know, you do not want what you never had, kind of. But I kind of once had it, and now I'm like, oh, anything less than that is kind of hard to deal with. So I'm now always kind of striving for something close to what I had.
Yeah.
But I'm getting better at it. I'm becoming more relaxed. Like, I will now, I was talking to you a couple of weeks ago, and for some reason I was talking about, I don't know why, but I'd be looking at a documentary as randomly, a documentary about Run DMC, right?
Mm.
And those are, they, you know, when they were in their prime, they were in their late 30s or whatever, you know. And I was looking at them going, those guys have a little bit of, you know, they've got a little bit of a belly there. They've got, you know, they've a little bit of weight. They're not, you know, they look cool, you know. So I'm telling myself,
yeah,
those guys, you can carry a little bit of weight. It's okay, Keith.
Yeah.
You know, these constant conversations,
yeah,
about what is okay and what, like, why you should be okay with having a little bit of fat,
yeah,
or, you know. It's,
yeah,
it's absolutely ridiculous.
See,
you're just lucky you don't live inside my head.
But I think, well, I think the thing is, Keith, you're not a unique case. And I think that now, and we've seen it in Love Island when the guys describe what they do with their lives, and they go to the gym in the morning, they go to work, they go to the gym in the evening, and like, that's their life. You know, being a certain physical shape is a top priority. And I do worry about, because I think that's what it's doing to a generation of men, that if you're not in the gym, if you don't have the pecs and the abs or whatever, you feel like you're somehow failing. But then what it takes to actually have that body can be so detrimental, yeah, to you. At your very core.
What I'm able to do now is have an honest conversation with myself and tell myself to be quiet and stop worrying about it and not be so neurotic about it. But I do worry about maybe younger men seeing these pictures on Instagram of, you know, of lads that work out and thinking that's going to bring them some kind of happiness.
Yeah.
It's really good to be to exercise. It's really good to get out there. But I like now to go for a long walk. I like to go for a hike. I like to go to the gym sometimes. I like to mix it up. I like to do what I'm in the mood for.
Yeah.
And try and mix up your exercise. And also try not to, if you feel tired, just don't bother going to the gym and don't feel guilty about it. The big thing is agonizing over how you look and the guilt that you feel when you don't. If you don't go to the gym, like, we as humans, we have the power banks. I'm sure you've heard this before. There's a kind of a book written about it, and I always say it's like a power bank, and you have so much willpower in your power bank, and some of that willpower will be used up on going to work, some of that willpower will be used up on being a parent, some of that willpower will be used up on whatever, and then you might have a bit of willpower to go to the gym or to eat properly,
yeah,
and you kind of choose then which it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And some of that willpower might be that you're not drinking for the month or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So sometimes you run out of willpower.
Yeah.
And that's all right. Don't feel bad about it.
And
you
that's
just go,
okay,
I'm out of willpower. So this week I'm out of willpower. I'm just, you know, I'm resting.
Yeah.
I'm getting to bed at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Even actually that takes a bit of willpower as well.
Yeah.
But that's the way I work now, is I'm all out of willpower. I don't have room for that. So,
well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your candor. I think it's really important that we have these conversations, and we'll have to keep them going as we roll on.
Thanks for having me on.